Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Mark Groves Podcast. I'm coming at you this week wanting to have a conversation. If you're someone who's noticing that Instagram is dying, a very slow, but it seems like more of a quick death now, I'm going to talk a bit about the psychology and like what's going on in our brains and our nervous systems that that's true, but also why YouTube seems to be different. So you as a YouTube user likely have the capacity for a longer attention span. Now listen, YouTube shorts are constantly cycling and those hit our dopamine centers and just keep us going and going and going. And listen, the algorithm is so good now that it will keep you here mindlessly, just like Instagram and TikTok do. But there has been a very rapid demise of those other platforms. Now, I think as a creator, what's really fascinating is when you create on a platform like YouTube, you get compensated for your content. So I don't make very much money from something like this, but at least there's a value exchange. And because there's that relationship of reciprocity, if you're a business owner, an entrepreneur, a creator, this place is just going to feel better from a psychological perspective because there's this like, hey, we're grateful for you. Your content is getting reach. You're actually creating better content all the time. And so we're going to reward you by paying you for that. There's something very important in the human psyche and the psychology of influence of when you get paid to do something, you feel like you owe them. When you give something to someone, you feel like they owe you. This is the law of reciprocity. And so what's going on in YouTube once you get enough subscribers to be able to get paid is at least there's this nudge to say, we recognize the value in you. Now, on Instagram, that just has never happened. I mean, they've given bonuses and stuff like that, but ultimately the platform is a place that's really more challenging to create a business on. Now, what do I hear most entrepreneurs say, business owners, is I feel like I have to be on there. So do you see how already psychologically there's an absence of choice? As soon as you enter the space where you don't feel like you have a choice about something, you're going to feel resentful. And that's going to show up in your body. You're going to feel that. Usually it's in our gut, our throat, because we're feeling like we're not prioritizing ourselves and our own mental, emotional health. And so we blame the thing that we're using for that, which is fair, right? It's like if I'm in a relationship with someone and I don't feel safe to express myself and say that's not okay, I'm going to unconsciously resent them. If I'm a people pleaser, I'm going to unconsciously resent the people I'm in relationship with because I'm giving in order to get you. I'm giving in order to maintain relational connection. I'm giving to you so that you will acknowledge how much I give and how much I sacrifice. So the same thing is modeled in this relationship to Instagram. Now, when I was really exploring my relationship to it and left it and then came back because I developed a healthy perception of it. I left because I felt I had to. I created more work in different ways and I wasn't dependent on it anymore. So now I felt safe to self-express on it. So you cannot be free to express in any relationship where your expression threatens the relationship. So if you're financially dependent on your partner and you're afraid to say something because it might rock the boat, because unconsciously it'll mean that you're no longer financially safe, right? So this is why you see people stay in toxic relationships because they don't have jobs, because they're not, maybe they're the stay-at-home person. Like it's not anyone's fault. It's just that the very dynamic of depending on someone financially, it has to be explicitly named what you're giving up to do that. Like, are you giving up self-expression? Are you giving up something? And so when two consciously aware people can just recognize that power dynamics exist all the time, they can have a conversation about it and say like, hey, how does it feel with me paying for that? What does it bring up in your body? What does it bring up in your self-expression? Now, I say all this because when I actually look at the way that Instagram relates to us, it is from a place of manipulation. I would say it really mimics sort of what feel like abusive relationship dynamics. So think about a narcissistic abusive relationship. Nothing you ever do is enough, right? So no content is ever enough. I had a meeting with someone from the company and they said, do you think you're capable of doing like 3-4 carousels a week and 3-4 the other days do reels? Like, does that feel like a lot for you? Because you really should be posting every day so the algorithm works with you. And do you notice the way they also talk about it is like it's a mystery. They're like, oh, well, we think the algorithm is liking this and oh, like what could work? And the reason there's this hook of mystery that even the people operating it, even the people using it, don't know how it works because then it elicits a creative edge for you. Look, I think creativity is great. But when you look at the baseline of what runs Meta, it is profit. So they must pay, right, their shareholders back. And in doing that, they need to make more money from attention. Now, I dove a little deeper on this in a previous podcast episode I did, so I'm going to explain this on a level of the nervous system too. So then we're operating and relating to Instagram in a way like, oh my gosh, like nothing I ever do will be enough. They'll give you just a little virality, like love bombing. And so you feel this high and then you feel this low. And so you're in this constant emotional fluctuation. Now, if your business is dependent on it, now you're probably not going to say anything that could be counter-narrative. And you might get punished for that, especially before. And the data is very clear that the previous U.S. administration, but also let's just go to name any country, was actually censoring people who were actually telling inconvenient truths. So we have all this evidence, and we've seen other people have it experienced. I've experienced it where their social media reach was really hindered by their self-expression. So think about that in the context of human relationships. If me saying what I actually feel is going to cost me my well-being and my membership to a group or a platform, I will likely not express that because I want to keep my social ties, my social connections. So we really weren't meant to be in relationship with 10,000 opinions. We weren't even meant to really be in relationship with 1,000 opinions constantly looking at us, talking about us. And so from a nervous system perspective, you have to see that you were never meant to be available for social risk 24 hours a day. So if you have a YouTube channel, a podcast, an Instagram, a TikTok, any of these things, a Substack, what's going to happen is unconsciously you are going to be constantly surveying for psychological and social safety. And what I mean by that is when you go to sleep at night, there's still a part of your mind and your thought, your nervous system that is saying, am I safe? Am I safe? Am I safe? Now, there's some interesting research where they look at people going on a date. And even if their phone is face down on the table, they're less vulnerable in the conversation. And that's because a part of them is thinking, what's going on in this world that's not here? So while they're technically in the present moment, they're thinking about another moment elsewhere on their phone. And it robs them of the ability to be vulnerable in their conversations because there's a part of their psyche always monitoring. And we all know this feeling, right? And this is why I think the elephant in the room and the conversation we are not having generally is this deep level of exhaustion from having algorithms deliver perfect dopamine hitting content that causes us to almost abandon our ability to choose because the strength of the algorithmic content provision is so strong that it causes us to bypass our own choices. Now, I've said previously, like the opposite of trauma is choice. So when choice gets taken away, right, trauma, and like we're not, you know, labeling everything as trauma, but we're saying that when you don't have choice, when something happens to you that is out of your realm of choice, it is actually learning how to make small, deliberate, intentional choices that builds up to big choices. So if you say you're going to put your phone down in 5 minutes and you don't, you are entering this space where you're not honoring your own word to yourself and you're not making micro choices. So think about that in the context of relationship. I'm not going to tolerate any more of this. And yet we do, because in the micro interactions with our phones, we're not demonstrating and strengthening the muscle for the macro interactions. Now listen, I'm not here to bring shame about it because we've all ended up going to do something on our platform and then all of a sudden ending 45 minutes later being like, how the hell did I get here? Why am I watching this? Why am I mad? Why am I horny? Why am I whatever? And so it's a very human thing. But I want you to know that in order to be in relationship with technology, you have to be in choice about your relationship to technology. And it's important that we all recognize this, that until we actually really explore our relationship to technology, it will decide our relationship to it. We spend about a third of our lives in bed. Think about that for a second. One out of every 3 days you live is spent laying down, resting, recharging, dreaming, which means comfort isn't just nice to have, it's essential. For me, comfort is knowing that where I sleep is actually helping me, not hurting me. That I'm resting on something supportive, made with care and designed without harmful chemicals. Because comfort isn't just how a soft mattress feels, It's the peace of mind that the place you return to every night is safe, sustainable, and built to last. That's what I love about the eco-organic mattress from Avocado Green Mattress. It's their most affordable option, but there's no compromise. Medium firm, soft yet supportive, made from certified organic cotton, wool, and latex. Materials that breathe so you could sleep cooler and wake up feeling more alive. And here's the thing. Avocado believes comfort should be accessible. They own their supply chain, everything from the wool to the springs, so you get a mattress that's crafted with incredible quality, but still affordable. Comfort for your body, for your wallet, and for the planet. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com today and save up to 20% on Avocado certified organic mattresses. Avocado, dream of better. Now, I would have formally said that romantic relationships and entrepreneurship are probably pretty equal, but I would give the edge to romantic relationships, but only by a little margin. They're the most potent place to discover the healing work that we need to do. Now, I really believe relationship, that's true because all our wounds occur in relationships. So of course, that's where we need to actually heal them. But when I think about entrepreneurship, this is really a relationship to your own self-worth. You have an idea, a dream, a possibility. You want to bring it to the world. There's a lot of exploration of like, if this doesn't work, am I still a valuable human, right? Which is just like, if I express my boundary or tell you I love you and you reject me, am I still valuable? Yes, you are, because you're the one producing value. You're the one who's saying, if I go for it, that's value. If I set a boundary, that's value. That's where self-worth occurs. It doesn't occur in the validation of my boundary. It occurs in me hearing my own voice and validating it through the expression. Same is true with entrepreneurship. Going for something, right? Because it says, I go for things, regardless of the outcomes, I go for them. And how I feel about me is not dependent on the outcome. It's dependent on, am I pursuing and expressing what is at the edge of my being? What is incongruence with my values? Am I living a life that is that? And if I'm not, then I'm not going to trust myself. So entrepreneurship is this real edge where you're charging for your ideas, your value, the thing you're bringing. I think that's big work. Now, I would say that the relationship to your phone is one of the most powerful, most potent spaces of recognizing where you're codependent, where you don't have choice, where you're not in your power. And I would now say that the most important relationship in our lives, let me just be explicit about this. The most important relationship in your life, which tends to be your phone, is destroying the most important relationships in your life. Let me say that again. The most important relationship in your life is destroying what are actually the most important relationships in your life. And that is, your phone is currently the most important and it is destroying your relationships to other people, your children, your parents. It is impacting your relationship to yourself. And I actually think we are in a state of emergency about this. And this is what's showing up as anxiety, depression. And listen, all the other mental health disorders that are just rampant, like where we're talking about neurodiversity and ADHD and all this stuff. It's like, what happens if your ADHD is just a natural response to a short form content world? Now, the reason I think that all of these things are so important is that your anxiety and your depression is really indicating that you're not listening to yourself. Anxiety is thought to be future oriented. So are you actually listening and seeing the future that you're creating that you don't want to create or the one you're anxious about creating? So at the core of the pathology of anxiety, what causes it is really not having full access to all of our emotions and self-expression. Because if you can't use your voice, you can't steer your life, right? So I was saying, if you say I'm going to get off my phone in 5 minutes and you don't, then you can't trust yourself. And it just leads you to much greater things. And I know it sounds like I'm picking on something so small, but I just want you to see how largely impactful it is on the greater mechanisms of what make you feel good in your life, but also what makes you have access to things like discipline. So I really think we're at this precipice where we're experiencing these mental health issues, but it's really because our brains are so tired of actually being exploited for all the monetization of our attention that we seem to be unable to make a choice to depart from. And if we're creators, we're participating in the process, right? Because if I create more hooky stuff, then I get to hook into more people's attention span and I become a conduit of this extraction. Meta, or whatever social media platform, uses me as a vehicle to monetize someone's attention and not be present in their own life. And I'm not saying we need to get rid of technology, because I'm talking to you on technology. I'm saying we need to decide our relationship to technology, and that will change everything. We need to decide, what role will a phone have in my life? What role will social media have in my life? And you can see we're all really on the edge of this. And let's just name this. If you are young, you weren't even given an option if you were raised with technology. So you are part of one of the largest experiments in human history, and the cost has been your ability to focus, your ability to be discerning, you diagnose yourself with everything. It's like led us to victim culture, in like we really empower victims, because all of the psychological stuff that underpins all of these things is what keeps us sourcing power, social safety. Like, all these mechanisms are so important to recognize in group dynamics and how they impact you. And so on behalf of Gen Y, Gen X, I can't speak for the boomers, I'm sorry, because I got a childhood without technology and it was freaking amazing. And I'm gonna make sure my child has that experience where it's not, he never sees a phone. It's just that I'm going to know so much about technology and continue to learn about it that I will be the adult who decides his relationship with it, because I've decided my relationship with it. I am an example for him, to him. And I'm going to continue to share more about this because I've learned so much about our relationship to technology and how it relates to our nervous system. And the things that I want you to leave this remembering are that you need to enter choice. So if you're saying you're going to shut your phone off in 5 minutes, shut it off and you'll start to build the muscle in it. Don't access your phone in the first 30 minutes when you wake up. Let that just build. Be present with yourself in the morning. Move in the morning. Have your coffee. Read a book. That is really good for the mind, is to practice reading again, because it exercises the brain. And I really want you to see how much of your unconscious mind is constantly surveying your social media and how you're doing in that other world. And can you start to direct that energy and build booked times where you go in and you access that type of thing? Can you actually explore, how do you bring that type of surveillance energy and everything? And how are your relationships doing in this world? How are your relationships doing here? And can you invest time into that? Because look, the most important thing in our lives is our relationships. And the data is just so clear on that. I'm going to dive in future episodes about the inflammatory impact of social media on, and also a theory that I'm having about metabolic dysfunction too. So make sure you hit that subscribe button. If you really love this video, hit the like button too. Share it with anyone who you think might find it interesting. I'm not here to abolish the experience with technology. I'm here to say we can all decide our relationship with it so it's harmonious, instead of something that is actually monetizing and extracting from us our attention, our presence, and our ability to really love one another and hear one another, because we also know that we're in a crisis of difference. We're not developing the skills to cross the bridge back to each other. Short form content impacts our ability to be present and to actually be in the moments that feel mundane. But all long-term relationships require the ability to be in moments that feel like the mundane. Everything worth having in life requires your ability to sit with it when it's not exciting. This isn't about a dopamine life. This is about all the other neural cocktails that are required for us to feel good in different ways and in being present, connected like this. Because this is truly what our beings desire on the deepest level. You know it and I know it. So let's continue to dive in, make this world a better place.